Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith? Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. We're so thankful that you're joining us today. I'm Jonathan Burness, and I'm joined by a dear friend and co-host today. He's a Messianic Jewish leader, a great man of God, Scott Volk. In February of 2023, a pastor got done with his Wednesday morning chapel message and texted his wife that he had laid a stinker of a sermon and would be home soon to take a nap. Little did he know that that message would stir students to stay in the chapel all day and night, repenting and reaching out for more of God. For the next 16 days, God's incredible presence filled Hughes Auditorium and an entire town of Wilmore. People came from all over the country and worldwide to experience the outpouring of God at Asbury University. I was blown away by what happened at Asbury. I heard of it. I remember the movie Around the World in 80 Days. This revival made it around the world in 80 minutes, literally. What happened on the internet, and then we'll go back.
This day and age with social media, it blew up. And I think we are so full of bad news or difficult news. So when there was good news to share, it just went viral. And it was actually Asbury Revival, the hashtag Asbury Revival was the quickest hashtag to 1 billion in the history of most of the social media platforms. So there's a narrative right now that we're losing the next generation. They're just flocking out of the church and out of relationship with Jesus. I don't think that's the case. And these 16 days and some of the things we've seen ever since around the world, in the United States, on college campuses, I think prove a point that God is moving.
Well, one thing is very, very clear. People are hungry of all ages. Within days, people were getting on airplanes from Asia, right, from Africa, from Europe. I just started getting phone calls. People were canceling their schedules to fly to Asbury to be part of this. Unbelievable. Nothing like this in history has happened.
Yeah, it was, you know, to find myself in a seat that, you know, I'd preached the week before at Asbury Chapel. I was a guest speaker. I'm a volunteer soccer coach there. So I'm not like a pastor, I'm not a professor, I was a volunteer soccer coach. But they had heard that I had been a pastor before and asked me to speak in chapel. I'd spoken on the beginning of Romans 12 on the 1st. So on February 8th, I preached on the rest of Romans 12, 9 through 21 on authentic love, that our love would be without hypocrisy. And then it goes on with all these statements, cling to what's good and topple over one another and giving each other honor, show hospitality, things like that. And I honestly ran out of time. I clicked through my slides.
And you thought it was a bad sermon.
I really did step off stage, texted my wife, laid a stinker, I'll be home soon for a nap.
Wow.
And then like 20 minutes later, I text her, I'm like, they're not leaving. And then an hour later, I'm like, I think I might stay.
Wow.
And then 4 hours later, I'm weeping on a voice memo, like, I've never experienced this, Kristen. Jesus feels like he's sitting on stage with me. Get the girls as soon as possible and bring them to Asbury.
Well, I heard it said, revival is not something that man works up. It's something that God sends down.
Amen.
And it's a beautiful thing to me that it wasn't, from your perspective, your greatest sermon, but the Lord used the heart and all that he was doing inside of you in the whole area of crushing and bringing life. You preach the message, people aren't leaving, people start hearing about it. Who was leading the revival? Who was in charge? What was happening?
Yeah. My question already. So good. We're on the same wavelength. Yeah.
So Asbury has three mandatory chapels a week. And to be really clear, it wasn't immediate that we thought something was happening. So almost the entire student body leaves, besides me, the worship leader, and 19 students. And I remember noticing God was doing something when there was guys that I've been praying that would come to know the Lord, students at Asbury, that weren't believers. And I saw their faces peeked through the door. Wow. And they walked in. And then we started hearing. And by about 4 o'clock that afternoon, chapel was full.
Now, I looked at the videos right away. The videos started pouring out. And it just seemed so, it wasn't like a revival that I've ever experienced before. And I've been in revivals in other countries. I lived in Russia. It was more dramatic. This seemed to be so low-key, so laid back. There wasn't this dynamic, planned music. It was very simple. It's very down-to-earth. But people were experiencing something. Can you just talk about that more?
Yeah.
Like, this is a different revival scenario or atmosphere than I've mm-hmm. ever seen.
It was like all the fruits of the Spirit were ripe and just, you could smell them in the room. And I remember coming up to the altar one of the first couple hours in, putting my hand on the altar, it's, you know, carpet, and it was wet with tears. Mm. Of just repentance. And people wouldn't come and just sit in a seat. They would come and go directly to the altar and then figure out if there was a seat.
Wow.
And we saw unbelievable things, healings, thousands of dollars spontaneously given to students who needed to go home or pay for school. Salvation's call to the nations, calls to ministry, repentance, and in his presence, it felt like anything could happen.
You were talking over dinner last night about the consecration room.
Yeah.
And a young teenager maybe or young 20s. Can you just talk about that? That was really gripping to me as we were sharing the meal last night.
It was the green room first.
The green room to the consecration.
Yeah, so I have to just say this. You know, there's nothing evil about a green room, but an 18-year-old, Wes Elliott, godly young man, worship leader, had started leading worship during the outpouring, and they had to start prophetically pointing out musicians because we were doing worship 24/7, and we ran out of musicians pretty quick. So they would pray, Holy Spirit, reveal who might play drums because we need a drummer, and they would hear like Yellow Sweater, and they would go to someone, and they would be like, actually, yeah, I play the drums at my home church, and we didn't know if they're a good person. So we created this thing, Wes created this thing called the consecration room, that the green room was transitioned into a room where we would first worship, then confess, then prophetically call out anything else, then confess some more, and then consecrate our giftings, and then a prayer of commissioning, and they would walk on stage.
Amazing.
And you couldn't touch the stage until you spent 45
minutes. It's like a dry cleaner.
It's amazing.
Cleaning you up before you go out to lead the group, lead the congregation. That's a great idea. I love it. The quick rinse.
Yeah.
You know, you just get before the God, you get the Lord, you get your sins cleaned off, and you go and minister.
That's
beautiful. Fantastic. Hey, we need to take a short break. We don't want to. We have to, though. But Zach is going to return to talk to us more about the Asbury outpouring and the next consecration that's ahead, because there is another revival coming, and the Lord wants you to be part of it. We'll be right back.
Imagine revival, sparked by pursuing the humility of heaven. You can access that kind of spiritual awakening by following the principles in Zach Mierkrieb's book, Lower, Igniting Spiritual Awakening Through Radical Humility. To say thank you for your gift of $45 or more, we will send you Zach's book that documents the spark and the continuing fire of the Asbury outpouring. In addition, we'll include a surprising DVD message from Jonathan titled The Gospel According to Moses. Experience the humble prayers of Moses and his longing for the coming Messiah. Become a new Shalom partner with a monthly gift of $40 or more, and we'll send you that book and DVD, plus the Jewish Voice Study Bible. Book introductions, footnotes, articles, and full-color graphics reveal how God's love, power, and humility connects the long history of Israel with our lives today. Plus, you'll also be a resource for Jewish believers and their neighbors around the world. 100% of your gift will be used to share the gospel, send Bibles, and deliver humanitarian need in God's name. If at all possible, please call today or mail your most generous gift to the address on the screen. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code. Your gift is making a difference. Thank you so much.
We're going to jump back into our interview with Zach, but before we do that, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for those that support this ministry. Your partnership means the world, not just to us at Jewish Voice, but to the Jewish people and their neighbors in remote parts of the world that you are helping. And they're hearing the gospel, and they're coming to faith. They're being immersed, and they're being discipled. You're making that possible. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, Zach, you have a heart for Gen Zers. There are Gen Zers that changed the world in Scripture. Talk about that.
Yeah. I've been captivated most recently around this season of King David in these hidden valleys, like these hidden valleys where he was just a teenager learning about God, writing songs to God, having to do the hidden work that no one was given. He couldn't have posted anything. You know, Gen Z wants to do things now that they could post and get likes. David was fighting lions and bears and no one knew about it. But he was deepening his relationship as a teenager in a hidden valley and then would then become king. You see it throughout the story. And if we can be spiritual fathers, spiritual big brothers, spiritual mothers, big sisters, to be shade to their growth, that we can create space for Gen Z to step forward and risk. And if they drop the ball, we're not insecure enough to be worried about it. We just pick it up and take care of it for them and then give the ball to them again. And we see that throughout Scripture. And if there's going to be a generational handoff, which I believe is happening in the world right now, I believe there is fathers turning to sons, sons to their fathers, and partnership, multi-generational partnership, then we'll need to reposture ourselves.
Yeah, we sure do. I wonder if your granddaughter, if your grandson is an Esther.
Yeah, it's good.
Hezekiah. A Joshua.
Yeah. You know, you talk about stepping into a cross-shaped door.
Yeah.
I think that's from Philippians chapter 2. And yeah. I think that that's, where Gen Z is concerned, this is very, very relevant. Can you just talk into that for a minute, Zach?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's good.
Yeah. Gen Z just thrives on authenticity. They just want to be real, which is so funny because most of what they stare at on their phone is quite manufactured, right? So then it's like a cup of cool water.
Yeah.
Authenticity and rawness and vulnerability. And you know, in Philippians 2, we see this Philippians 2, 5 through 11 was a song that the early church would sing about Jesus' humility. It was called a kenotic hymn. And the kenotic, that word kenotic is this Greek word kenosis, emptying. So the early church would sing of Yeshua emptying himself in Jesus' incarnation, but then all the way to the cross, going down the staircase, cross, then exalted. He didn't do the exalting, the Father did the exalting.
Beautiful.
And that is captivating to Gen Z. And for that, they're willing to walk through the cross-shaped door. And the cross-shaped door is just, would you bear your cross? Would you Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but he lives in me.
Yeah.
And that's a cross-shaped door. And I think when we present that to Gen Z, they're like, we're all in. But if we're offering something that's cute and fluffy, they can find that somewhere else.
Would you speak for a minute to our audience? Because they have grandchildren. There's a lot of grandparents watching this program today. What can they do to cultivate their grandchildren to become an Esther or a Joshua or a Hezekiah?
What does intercession look like for your kids and your grandkids? Like really praying for them, travailing in prayer for them. And then I think we so downplay the gift that encouragement is. Like I appreciate the concern we have. And there's things we can be concerned about. But this generation is so anxious and feels so defeated. And I think that's a power and principality that sits on them.
Yeah.
That as fathers and mothers, grandmothers and grandfathers, can we pierce that with biblical truth and encouragement that might give them faith, that they might be able to take a deep breath and step fully into their destiny? And would you create space for them to do that?
It's amazing. There's a movement worldwide right now We chatted a little bit about it last night, college campuses being invaded by God. Can we just talk about that just for a minute? What you're seeing happening in state colleges, secular yeah. state colleges around this country.
Yeah, it's so encouraging. Like if I could encourage you, I feel sometimes like in Numbers 12 and 13, there's like 12 spies, 10 spies come back with a negative report.
Yeah.
And most of us really kind of hear the 10 spies report, right? But I feel like I'm one of the two spies, and I have a two-spy report. I get to be Joshua and Caleb. He moved to Asbury. He's moving at the largest state schools. The number one party school, Florida State University, had a spontaneous baptism of close to 500 students.
Come on.
That are then getting connected to local churches.
It's amazing.
In February, this ministry is coming to University of Kentucky and filling up a basketball arena that like idolizes UK basketball. And for those hours, we'll be pointing to Jesus. God's moving all over the campus. We just heard of 3,000 young adults meeting in Krakow, Poland to plead for revival all over Europe.
Look, if God can move at Asbury, God can move at Florida State. He's really desiring to move around the world, and he's looking for hungry and thirsty young people and parents and grandparents who are willing to point their kids and their grandkids in the direction of the only place where they're going to be satisfied.
I think we have
filled.
To change our mindset. We have to change our mindset as parents, as grandparents.
Yes.
Oh, the world is falling apart. This is horrible. No, God's watching, and he's committed to revival. One great evangelist, Moody, said, if you're looking for revival, look for the worst cultural setting where there's such moral decay that there's no hope. You're so low, all you can do is look for revival.
Yeah. I love it.
Finney said that as well for my area, that revival comes at the worst point in history, at the worst point in time. So look up, expect.
Sometimes when we look at what's happening in the church world today, there's such an emphasis on climbing the ladder. We talk about celebrity Christianity, it's kind of an oxymoron to me. When you look at the Bible, you see something about God, and he actually calls himself humble, a humble, compassionate God. If I blew the earth into existence, I'm not sure that humility would be my foremost characteristic. Yet God is humble, and you've written about this, and I'd just like for you to share a little bit about the humility of God.
Yeah, it's a through line all of Scripture, right? He was totally fine in all of his glory before creation. And then the humility of it for him to create.
Yeah.
And not just create like some beautiful piece of art, but a place where then we could dwell with him in friendship in the garden.
Yeah.
That's humble. And then you see him meet with humans all throughout the Old Testament in profound ways, descending and talking to Abram and leading them, descending and talking to Moses, the humility of all that, right?
Yeah.
Even when he was rejected, often he would give another chance.
Wow.
He would meet, that is humble. Mm-hmm. So it's a through line. Mm-hmm. And then you see the incarnation. It is one of the most profound movements of humility that sticks, that creates a profound, captivating picture of God that contradicts any other really philosophy or world religion, is the humility of God in Jesus' incarnation. And then you see Jesus' humility, then you see his teaching on humility, then you see Paul's humility and his teaching on humility of Philippians 2, 1 Corinthians 1, the foolish will shame the wise, the weak will shame the strong. I love this passage in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. I forget everything, not with the superiority of speech, worldly wisdom, I forget everything besides Christ crucified. So there would be a demonstration of his power. Mm-hmm. Humility, 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 all the way to heaven, where it will be the most humble place.
I love it.
It will be sitting around a dinner table, not comparing or competing.
At all.
Flexing, just enjoying him.
That'll be nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah, you know, you look intentionally for humility scriptures, mm-hmm. beginning in Genesis,
yeah.
and you'll just find them constantly, yeah. constantly. Zach, how can we form humility in our lives? certainly not by saying I'm humble. What can people do?
I think a humble person is a submitted person. When I'm not being in submission to God, it's usually out of pride. So when I can submit myself to the Lord, so if I can't find my keys, he can meet me in that and reveal yucky things to me. Or if I lose a daughter, like part of my story, I lost my daughter, he can confront me there. Mm. If I lose a job, if I get a job, like I want to put myself before the Lord for him to confront and then conform me into his likeness. There's a book called The Invitation to a Journey written by Robert Mulholland, and he says the point of formation always begins at the most difficult point of confrontation.
Wow.
And our unlikeness to Jesus.
Oh, so right.
In humility, would we submit ourselves to Jesus for him to confront us? For Hanukkah, when I was a little kid, I got one of those rock tumblers that you'd throw like some, you know, run-of-the-mill rock in it, and it just is confronted for hours, days, and it pops out
smooth
and beautiful, like a gift shop rock. That's sometimes the picture of humility that we need to be okay with, is are we willing to sit in it, be confronted rhythmically, saying yes, that we might look a little bit more like Jesus. And if we look a little bit more Jesus, I believe
it's
going to be humble.
That's a great image, Zach. Thank you. Get that picture. You know, you're going through suffering right now, maybe. Let God use that in your life. Mm-hmm. Really. You have to make that decision. God, I'm not going to run away from you. I'm going to run towards you, and I'm going to embrace this.
Yeah.
Our calling at Jewish Voice is to help people to find a relationship with God, to begin this process of transformation. And we need your help to get involved. We're making a difference to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And we need you to get involved. Jewish people are searching. They're searching for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Again, this is happening now. And they're turning to him in a time of crisis. We want to ask you to partner with us today, and we'll send you Zach's new book that will challenge you to become more like Jesus, Yeshua, in humility to share God's love. We'll be right back in a moment to pray over you for your needs, for your family's needs, so don't go away.
Imagine revival, sparked by pursuing the humility of heaven. You can access that kind of spiritual awakening by following the principles in Zach Mearkrieb's book, Lower, Igniting Spiritual Awakening Through Radical Humility. To say thank you for your gift of $45 or more, we will send you Zach's book that documents the spark and the continuing fire of the Asbury Outpouring. In addition, we'll include a surprising DVD message from Jonathan titled The Gospel According to Moses. Experience the humble prayers of Moses and his longing for the coming Messiah. Become a new Shalom partner with a monthly gift of $40 or more, and we'll send you that book and DVD, plus the Jewish Voice Study Bible. Book introductions, footnotes, articles, and full-color graphics reveal how God's love, power, and humility connects the long history of Israel with our lives today. Plus, you'll also be a resource for Jewish believers and their neighbors around the world. 100% of your gift will be used to share the gospel, send Bibles, and deliver humanitarian need in God's name. If at all possible, please call today or mail your most generous gift to the address on the screen. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code. Your gift is making a difference. Thank you so much.
We never forget to pray in this program, and that's what we're going to do. And now we're going to pray for you, for your family members, for your loved ones. Lots of prayer requests come to us, and we pray for every single prayer request by name in this ministry. So I want you to know that, and just trust God. We're going to take a few moments to pray for your needs, and I know there's lots of them because we're seeing them. And Zach, would you do the honors of this? This is the man that God is using in such a powerful way. Mm-hmm. And if you'll agree with his prayer, just know God is listening. And not only is he listening, he will answer prayer. He will answer your prayer. So trust him. Without faith, it's impossible. Please him. Let's agree together in faith. Zach,
yeah,
take it away.
Jesus, thank you so much. In Romans 8, 14 through 17, it says, those who walk by the Spirit are children of God. So I ask that everyone who's listening or watching would be reminded of their adoption. And it says that we have not received the spirit of slavery, but that of adoption, so we can cry out, Abba, Father. I pray for endurance, perseverance, resilience, and every person watching, and for every need that they have, to cry out, Abba, Father. And then that the Spirit of God within them would testify of their adoption. Would you remind those who feel lonely or overseen or forgotten that they are beloved children of God? Mm-hmm. And Jesus, in your Gospels, it says that when we ask for bread, you don't give us a rock. Mm-hmm. We ask for fish, you don't give us a serpent. So we ask for bread and fish, and we ask, seek and knock as beloved children of God. I pray a blessing over each person here. I pray that anything from Zach, will it be forgotten? But anything from you, Holy Spirit, will it find fertile soil in their hearts to produce formation and advancement for the kingdom. Jesus, we love you. We can't believe we get to be a part of your mission. Yes, we say this in your name.
Amen. 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 And if you've never entered into a relationship with Jesus, with Yeshua, he's knocking at your heart. All you have to do is to ask him with sincerity, with honesty, Lord, I want to live for you. Don't let this day pass. Today is the day of your salvation. And he will answer. So don't wait. And this is your chance. If you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to our website. It's one word, jewishvoice.tv. You'll find many helpful resources there. You can send your prayer request to us right on the website. I want you to know that we care about you. More importantly, God cares about you, and we will pray for your needs, as I said, by name. As we close our program, I want to remind you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. This is in Psalm 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper who love thee. So if you want to prosper, pray for Jerusalem, the Jewish people, the Arab people, Israelis and Palestinians alike. I want to thank Scott Volk. I want to thank Zach for joining me today. And until next time, this is Jonathan Burness saying shalom and God bless you.